Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
After the last Subway Series, going to that one in mid-May, it was both teams on top of the baseball world. Now both teams have come crashing down out of first place, struggling. Both teams playing like the worst teams in baseball over a prolonged stretch here, maybe the last 3 weeks or so. The Mets have been the worst team, although they've won two of their last three, taking a series, two in a row, technically with game two and then the third game of that series after the doubleheader the other day. But either way, taking two out of three from Milwaukee, finally winning a series for the first time since mid-June. And the Yankees coming off the heels of getting swept by the Blue Jays, falling out of first place. Although I do think that there's an issue with the Mets still with the pitching, the way it's lined up for the weekend, not to mention Buto being out. Ray, can you do me a favor? We got Ray Martell here, and thanks, Ray, for getting us on the air and making this all happen. I need the Mets and Yankees lineup. Dave Sims mentioned it before. You had Dominguez leading off, which is, remember, that was the plan from Aaron Boone coming into the year. We talked with Booney, BT and I, during pre-spring training. It was January, February, whatever it was, during the football playoffs. Booney came in studio, and he had mentioned that Dominguez was going to be his leadoff guy. He was thinking about that. Well, that went away, and now you have Dominguez, who's been on fire as of late, and now that's back on the table, which I think changes the entire dynamic for the Yankees lineup. And that's why I'm saying, with the Yankees starting to get hot offensively and the Mets pitching being beat up right now, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, they've taken on so many injuries, and Buto today going out, as Ray laughs at me because I got to get these glasses up to see the lineup. But the Mets pitching is ravaged here. I mean, they got Hageman starting today. We don't know who's the starter on Sunday, so it's likely a bullpen game. Montas tomorrow, and that's going against Rodon, and then Freed the next 2 days. And today, of course, Marcus Stroman. Mets are going to have to hit. All right, so let's go over the lineups real quick. You got Dominguez, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Jazz, Goldie, Escara, Volpe dropped to 8, and DJ LeMahieu 9th. And then for the Mets, you have Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Soto, Alonso, McNeil, Torrens, Beatty, Mauricio, and Tyrone Taylor. And coming up in just a few minutes, we will have a legend who played on both sides of the Subway Series. We'll do that in a second here. You want me to take a call or just hold out here? I'll hold out here for a second. So either way, with that lineup, with the Yankees, that can be problematic now with Dominguez being on in front of Judge. Everybody talks about the protection for Judge and, oh, how are they going to pitch to Judge if he doesn't have proper protection? For me, it's about who's on in front of him. If you get Dominguez on in front of Judge, that makes it a lot more difficult to put Judge on, regardless of who's behind him. You can't walk Judge if Dominguez is, I mean, obviously if he doubles and you have first base open, that's a different story. But you're not walking Judge if the guy's on in front of him and he comes up in a big spot. All right, right now we welcome in a friend of the show and a legend for both sides of the Subway Series, although I like to ignore the second part of it. His number is retired here at Citi Field, the legendary Dr. K, Dwight Gooden. Doc, how are you?
Doing great. Good to see you. I got my grandson here, my great-grandson.
How are you guys? Nice to meet you guys.
Some of my kids are downstairs, so it's fun. It's fun 4th of July. It's still a good game. Subway Series, like you said, I play with both teams, but you know my man at heart.
I want to know. Doc is in the orange and blue today.
Yes, sir.
All right, first and foremost, how you feeling? Everything okay with you?
Everything's great. Yeah, feeling good. Everything's going well. Like I said, I got my kids. My family's up here for the holidays. Couldn't be any happier.
Who footing the bill for the tickets today? Is that the Mets or is that Doc Gooden?
No comment.
You're footing the bill for the... kids and the grandkids and everything?
The grandkids, this is only half of them. I have 11 grandkids, 4 great-grands, and 7 kids. So,
where are you guys sitting today?
I have to verify this. And not, you know, most black guys, they say if you got 7 kids, you got 7 different mothers.
Oh,
I only have 2. I'm
okay.
Married twice.
Doc, I'm not touching that one. You can say that.
So I just want to clarify that. Yeah. It's all good.
I see you got the 16 ring on there. Love being able to sit here and talk to you, a legend, and looking at your number up there, retired. How great is that feeling for you, knowing all you've been through in your career, to be able to come to Citi Field, take your family out here, and look up and show them what you've accomplished in your life?
Unbelievable. Like you said, my career is good. I had a lot of struggles off the field. And for the Mets, you know, Steve and Alex Cohen to recognize me for the things I did and forgiving me for the things I did, you know, the messes I made off the field, and to reward me with the highest honor a team can give you. And it's more guys in the Hall of Fame that have their numbers retired.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And as you mentioned, like today, I have my great-grandson here. This is the first time we've seen that, and I got to take a picture of him with the number in the background. To me, that's the ultimate. That's what it's all about. And when I come to the stadium, I like to tell the fans that they played a big part of that, because without the excitement and the energy they brought in the 80s, that don't happen.
You know, Doc, man, I love you so much. I was just thinking about it. I came to, you know, the day they retired your number and saw you out there and heard that speech and felt the raw emotion from you. Great that you're doing well. Awesome that you could experience this and be here and take your kids out, great-grandkids, and see that number 16 out there. All right, how about this Mets ball club right now? Going through it a little bit, pitching ravage. What have you been seeing from this Mets team in the fall?
I think the thing is, a lot of times when you go different things, and just my opinion, looking at it from the outside, it's like, it's almost like they're waiting for something bad to happen. I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, good teams don't do that. And they have a great team. They have a great manager, obviously great front office. And I think all it takes is one game or two games or a series like this to get it turned around. And a lot of times you got to go back to the basics. If I'm a ball player right now in that clubhouse, I'll say, hey, what's the one thing I can do to help the team win today, just today? And if everybody does that, everything will work out. Sometimes you just got to go right back to the basics on what got you here. But I think they're going to be great. They got too many good players not to, you know, get through it. But I'm glad they're going through it early, and then get through it. I think it'll bring them a lot closer.
If it is going to happen, you'd rather it happen in June or July, obviously, than September or late in the season when they're battling for a playoff spot.
Yes.
How about the pitching specifically? The Mets have been able to take certain guys that, you know, whether it's a Griffin Canning or Paul Blackburn, and turn them into solid starters. I know, obviously, both those guys have been hurt right now, but they've been able to have one of the better rotations in baseball without having a top arm. How have they been able to do that, in your opinion, when you watch
this? That's amazing. I give the pitching coach a hell of a job that he's doing. Unbelievable. And whatever they're doing, whatever the formula is, keep doing it. But me personally, again, being a fan now, I like to see him get a top guy if one's available. Before the trade deadline, if possible, before the stock goes up. Because once you go to the playoffs, you're going to face other teams' top pitchers. So you got to have something to match that. Obviously, the offense will take you only so far, which they have a great offense. But if I can, there's no knock on the pitchers that they have, but I would definitely go out and get a solid guy if I could.
What do you think about Senga and Manaea coming back? Have you seen Senga? Do you think he could be that top guy if he comes back and is able to stay healthy?
That's the thing. If he's able to stay healthy and show consistency, I mean, when he's pitching 4, 5, 6 games in a row, he's shown where he can be consistent. But he missed a lot of time last year. He missed some time this year. So it would be hard for me to put all my cards in his hand right now. And Manaea, you know, he missed basically the first half of the season and spring training. So whatever he give you, you just got to look at it as a bonus. But hopefully those guys come back and they give you something, which they can. It'd be like making a trade without making a trade. But I still say go out and get that one guy.
How difficult is it? We're talking with Doc Gooden. How difficult is it, Doc, to come back like Manaea, who hasn't pitched at all the first half of the year? He's going to have the expectations to be an ace, which he was at the end of last year. How difficult is that? How much time does it take to work your way back from injury?
It takes a lot of time because you could do all the workouts you want in the weight room. You could do all the simulated games, all the BP. But nothing's like the game when you're out on the big league mound facing big league hitters. I know when you're rehabbing, you can't really get it because all those guys did not give me a chance to really set them up. There's no analytics on those guys. So, again, whatever he gives you is a bonus, but it's going to be pressure on him because of the contract and the way he finished last year. And they're expecting big things out of him. But they got to understand, and I don't want to feel like the bad guy, but last year he threw a career high in innings.
Yeah.
And he got hurt. He's coming back now. And throughout his career, he's had some injuries. So, you can't look at him to do, like, to be the hero, but look at him just to do where he left off, hopefully.
All right, how about from the Yankees' perspective here, or even just facing that lineup? You're Dwight Gooden. You look at the Yankee lineup today, you're seeing Aaron Judge in there, number two. How are you attacking Aaron Judge? Are you being passive and letting somebody else beat you, or are you going right at him? How does Doc Gooden approach Aaron Judge?
Doc Gooden of the 80s or Doc Gooden of the 90s?
I want Doc of the 80s.
Doc of the 80s, I'm going right at him. Until he shows me he can hit me, then I'll make the adjustment. But they got a good lineup as well, and the key is keeping the guys off base in front of him. And he have a couple holes. He don't have many. And when he's hot like that, there's always one team. There's one guy you don't want to beat you. And he's the guy for the Yankees, especially late in the games. You got to go at him like the count's already 0-2 from the first pitch on. You're pitching him very carefully, but stay aggressive.
Who was the best you've ever faced?
I would say Barry Bonds is the best I ever faced, but Chili Davis gave me the most problems.
Chili Davis
was tough.
What, he was just on your fastball? What happened?
Everything I throw. And then I talked to him a couple of times when he was the hitting coach for the Mets. He said he just saw the ball so good coming out of my hand. Some guys just have your number, and he had my number. I should throw up and tight. It didn't work. You know, pitch behind him, hit him sometime. Not to hurt him, but to try to intimidate him. It never worked. Even when he went to the Yankees, I was in Cleveland. I could not get this guy out.
All right, so Bonds, we just had Johnny Franco on. He said the same thing about Bonds. How good is Judge, even in comparison to the players that you faced in your playing days? Where does Judge rank?
I would put Judge right there. He showed me, like, early in his career, I didn't know if he'd be able to stay healthy because of the size.
Yeah.
But he's proven that. He's very consistent the last 3 years. I mean, his numbers have been there. I know he gets a hard time because of the postseason numbers. But obviously in the postseason, he's not going to get nothing to hit. I would rank him right there. You know, he's right there. Bonds is just in a whole nother league. But I would say I would put him there with Ken Griffey. Mike Schmidt maybe with a better average. But just, I don't know if it's consistent because I didn't face those guys. But I would put him up there with probably the top 10 guys.
How would you pitch to Soto, Doc?
Soto's tough. He's one of those guys. I put him in a class with Tony Gwynn, but with more power. You have a very, very good eye. You're not going to get him to chase much. So the thing with him, I wouldn't try to strike him out unless I got two strikes. 0-2, you can probably get him to chase. Not to give the opposing teams any tips, but I would definitely pound them in. I wouldn't let them get comfortable. The same thing, I would hope that they do to Otani this year. One thing that killed me last year, I know we talked about Soto, but not to jump off
track.
Yeah,
no, it's fine. Yeah.
But last year with Otani, and again, not to hurt anybody or hurt him, but you got to pitch the guy inside. Make him move his feet. He's got the big pad on. He's diving. Make him uncomfortable.
Does that matter with the stuff? Because I love the idea of, okay, 80s Doc Gooden, you could do almost whatever you wanted to anybody.
Yes.
90s Doc Gooden, a little bit different. Now you're pitching, so does it matter where you say, okay, we'll pitch Otani inside, but what if they don't have your fastball?
You still got to pitch him inside. Even if you're throwing 84, 85, you still got to pitch him inside. It's a mind game. It's a checker game on the mound. Get in the eye contact. Every other bat, knock him down. Make him uncomfortable. Guys don't do that anymore. They don't double up inside. They don't pitch inside. I understand. I'm not saying hit a guy on purpose or hurt him, but you got to make him uncomfortable. And then the guys that's in the dugout, they're looking at that as well. They say you knocked their number one guy down. It's got to put a little fear in their head as well.
You know, I loved 80s Doc. I like 90s Doc. Yeah. I hated 2000 Dwight Gooden.
Oh, yes. I understand.
Yeah, we've talked about this. Yes. One of my least favorite Subway Series moments when you came back to Shea Stadium as a member of the Yankees.
Yes.
What was it like playing on the other side of the Subway Series, being a lifelong Met, coming up in the organization, then having to play the Mets as a member of the Yankees?
It was totally odd and totally weird. And I'm going to have to take you to the stretch. I got a little time to tell you the story.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 94, the Mets wanted to cut ties. And I understood that. I was getting a lot of trouble off the field, so I completely understood that. I wanted to stay in New York. I wanted to make it right with the fans. I didn't want to go out on that note. Mr. Steinbrenner gave me an opportunity to join the Yankees. Even though when I was a Met, I hated the Yankees. I mean, I completely hated the Yankees. So, but that was my only chance I had to stand in New York. I pitched for the Yankees 96-97. After the 97 season, I called him. Steve Phillips, the general manager, and I'm not taking him. Yeah. Back at Steve Phillips. He's a good friend. I called him. I said, is there any way I can come back? He said, we don't have room. Wish you the best. Good luck. I signed with Cleveland, 98-99. After 99 season, I called the Mets again. He said, Doc, you know, wish you the best. We still don't have nothing here. 2000, I signed with Houston. Pitched one game. I got traded to Tampa. I pitched 8 games. I got released. I called the Mets again. I said, I'll go to AAA. I'll do whatever it takes. I just want to finish the Mets. I said, unfortunately, we don't have anything. Mr. Steinbrenner called me himself and said, hey, if you still want to play, show up at the complex. I was living in Tampa at the time, and the late Billy Connors, he'll work with you. He said, if it doesn't work out, you come work for me. Went to the Yankees. I pitched like 2 rookie games, nothing special. I go in the office the next day. I'm thinking they won't release me. And Billy said, we need a pitcher in New York. I say, a pitcher in New York? He goes, yeah, just the Mets. It's the day-night doubleheader. They want you to pitch the day game at Shea. In my mind, I couldn't say I wasn't ready, but I'm like, I get to go to Shea that one last time. And that's all I ever wanted. I went to Shea. I beat the Mets. I pitched 5 innings. Stayed on the roster the rest of the year. We beat them in a World Series. So it wasn't like a get back, but that was a great way for me to retire that way. So it was kind of like I hated leaving the Mets, like you said, but that was my way of showing the Mets I still had some left.
I can't blame you. And then you throw the no-hitter. What year was the no-hitter with the Yankees?
96.
Oh, that was 96. Okay. So, right. So you had the no-hitter even before that, which obviously, you know, the Mets, you were one of the great all-time pitchers in the Mets franchise. They never had a no-hitter to that point. Yes. You go to the Yankees and throw the no-hitter.
That was crazy. I tell you what, though. I'm not really a Bible thumper or Christian, a big-time Christian like that, but it definitely was a power greater than myself that day because it was so many games where I had a lot better stuff. That game I had 6 walks. It turned out to be the last game my dad saw me pitch. He went through 15 years of dialysis. And that next day, we're going to have open-heart surgery. And they said because of his health, he probably won't make it. And if he does make it, still can't last long. So I had a ticket to go home to be with my father that day. And that morning I woke up and I said, you know what, he would probably want me to pitch. Because all I can think about when I was a kid, spending time with my dad, because anywhere my dad go, I would grab his leg or whatever to go with him. And he always said about putting your job first, taking care of responsibilities first. So I called Joe Torre, who's the manager. I said, I'm coming in, I'm going to pitch. He said, no, go home, take as much time you need, spend that with your dad when you're ready to come back. I said, no, I'll see you tonight. Then I called my mom, told my mom I'm not coming home, and she went berserk on me. I ended up hanging up, and I was like, dad needs your support. Everybody's going to be here. You have to be here. I said, Mom, I'm not coming. I'll see you tomorrow. You go in the first 3 minutes of that game. I'm standing in a walkway between the dugout and the clubhouse, worrying about my dad. First 3 innings. Whatever Joe Girardi, who was catching me, put down, I was just throwing. Not until the 6th inning when I realized I had a no hitter. You look at the scoreboard, you see no runs, no hits, no errors. Hearts start beating a little faster. Put my dad's situation aside. And I'm pitching a no hitter. Took a ball from that game. Obviously, I didn't sleep that night. Took a ball home. He was in the hospital, hooked up to life support. He never made it home, but the last game he saw me pitch was that no-hitter. So that's what made it that much special.
Unbelievable story. Yes. Do you think a part of you didn't want to face your father like that and just try to avoid it and say, let me do what he loved watching me do his whole life, go out there and pitch, as opposed to going there and seeing your dad like that and knowing how difficult that would be?
I think that's part of it. That's part of it because my dad was my heartbeat. I mean, ever since I was a kid, my dad could not go out that door without me grabbing his leg. He coached Little League baseball. He coached Little League softball, amateur pro, everything. And I cried so much watching him suffer the last several years that once he passed away, I was sad, obviously. But the tears was gone. I had no more tears to go. It was more like a relief.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of lost my desire to play baseball as well. I tried to play a couple more years with Cleveland when I went there. But it wasn't the same because after every game, I would call my dad before I even talked to the press, and we'll go over stuff. And even when I do my side day, him and Mel Sotomayor had a great relationship, my pitching coach, just talking. So I kind of missed that. It was missing.
Was that the career highlight for you, Doc? Career highlight, that no-hitter that you threw?
I think from a personal standpoint, I would say yes. I had a couple. My opening day start, the Mets were counting up. They flew my parents in, and my parents got to see me get my first big league win. And then so my dad saw my first big league win, and then he saw my only no-hitter before he passed away. So I would say probably from a personal standpoint, those two.
And what would be the biggest regret? Because I have in my mind maybe some that you might have, but I'd be curious to hear it from you yourself. What do you think?
The biggest regret, top of my head, would be missing that parade.
Yeah.
Hands down. And to be honest with you, and not to justify anything, but that kept me sick for a long time because I couldn't forgive myself. I had a therapist tell me, and it made sense. Several years later, she goes, you can't forgive yourself because you're holding that as a reservation to go back out and use. I thought about that deeply. I said, you know, she's probably right because a lot of it was hurt and a lot of it was some self-pity because I couldn't redo it even though I made the 2 Yankee parades. But that one that I came to the organization with, the guys that came to the organization with me, they fought so much, and that first one, what should have been the best day of my baseball career. I can't do that over. And it kept me sick for a long time, and it took a while for me to forgive myself. I have forgiven myself, but at times it still pops up.
Wow. Hearing you say that, not being able to forgive yourself for a long time for missing it. Like, maybe from the outside, it's like, oh, that sucks for Doc. We feel bad. He was struggling. He was sick. But he missed it. Like, I didn't know that you were holding on to that all those years, and that made things worse.
Yes. Unfortunately, in 2008 or maybe 2006, when I got incarcerated, that's when I was able to empty all that stuff out. But before then, it was hard, man. It was hard. I can get over it, but then every year when somebody wins a World Series, it hits hard. It hits. And sometimes now, just I listen to the radio, or last year was great. Last year was like, man, I hope the Mets get it. Not that what I did would be forgiven by myself, but I think it would ease it a little bit.
Yep.
If the Mets go to the World Series, whether I'm invited or not, I'll definitely be down there.
Hey, I'm going, and I'm taking you with me if we have
that's
to.
A deal.
Whatever
that's a deal. Yes,
if
that's
the
a
Mets
deal.
Don't invite you, we're going together.
That's
I guarantee
a deal.
You that.
Definitely. Let's do it.
You know, we're coming up on 40 years.
Wow.
Next year is going to be 40-year anniversary. I remember the 06. They did a celebration.
Yes.
2016. You were there for both, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Definitely 06, I remember you were there. And 2016 as well,
actually,
right?
06, I missed.
I thought you were there.
I was locked up in 06. I missed that one.
You weren't there at all. I remember doing radio shows there, and
that hurt. Because I hadn't been back.
Oh,
to
maybe it was 08 I was getting mixed
08,
up.
Yes,
where you came out, you had the jersey coming down the stands at Shea Stadium.
That was the closing of Shea Stadium.
Yes. Okay, maybe I got that mixed up.
I came back for that one.
So you missed the one in 2006.
Oh, man, that was tough. You know, being I saw like that when the news because you don't get to watch TV in there, but you get to see the news and seeing that man, I cried for like. I don't know, man. That was tough.
So even 20 years later, and now coming up on the 40-year anniversary next year.
Oh, man.
You still keep in touch with some of your teammates?
Yes, I talk to a lot of these guys because I see a lot of them. Like, I talked to Daryl yesterday. A lot of these guys I see at the Mets Fantasy Camp. And now with the job that Jay Horst is doing with the alumni, I see a lot of them when I come to the stadium. So it's great, man. I think they're doing a good job with that because I remember when I joined the Yankees in 96 and I went to spring training, you know, you see DiMaggio, you see Yogi, you see Reggie Jackson, you see Guidry, Goose, all these guys. But now the Mets are starting to do that as well. So
yeah.
It's a good feeling.
The alumni game coming up on September 13th.
Yes.
Are you going to be partaking in that?
I'll be there to watch in, but no.
In uniform or no?
No. No, no uniform.
No uniform? You didn't get invited to that or you don't want it?
I got no invite.
Doc, we get
again, I'm not bashing anybody.
No, I know. I know. No, I'm going to in a second.
I got you. But no invite. So, but
and you want to be your number is retired. You weren't invited for the uniform to be in uniform there.
Yes, I know.
We got to get a K corner up here at Citi Field. We got to work on that.
Yes, I like
Dwight Gooden K corner, and then we got to get you. But you'll be at the alumni game.
I will be
what?
There because a lot of I'm just hanging out. I'll be just a fan. I mean, because a lot of guys on both sides that I'm good friends with, some of them I play with. So it'd be good to see these guys.
But again, you're going on your own, not through the Mets.
Yes.
What happened? Did something happen?
I have no idea.
Because weren't you? Like in the good graces with the Mets organization?
Yeah, it's still there that I know of. Yes, everything's still great. I have no problem with the Mets. None. But I don't know.
We got to get to the bottom of that. All right, Doc. I appreciate the time. Seriously, it means a lot. I know I didn't want to bother you, but I was like, hey, maybe Doc will be there 4th of July figuring you want to be at the big game, Subway Series.
For sure.
See if you want to come up and hang out. Great to see your grandkids, great-grandkids. Have fun at the ballpark today. Yeah. Enjoy it. Hopefully the Mets get a win, unlike what your Yankees did to the Mets in 2000. We don't want that.
No, that's over. I'm a Met. Yeah. There you go, Doc. We have to.
The great Dwight Gooden.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.